Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's poppin'. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston. Get energized and revived.
Hi, CityCast listeners. It is time to look back on the week's news. So, I am joined today by lead producer Dina Kesba and CityCast contributor Antrichelle Dorsey. It is Friday, June 17th, 2022. I'm Lisa Gray, and this is CityCast Houston. Dina, Antrichelle, let us talk about the news. Dina, what do you think the biggest story was this week?
It's got to be this heat. The amount of like different like GIFs and memes I've been seeing on Twitter and Instagram are hilarious. People comparing the heat. Like one that really got me yesterday was it was an image of the sun. It was Texas, and then it was Earth. And Texas was the closest to the sun. And then they had the song of this girl is on fire. And that was like the best. That took the cake on all social media. Yeah. I was like, that is so true. It is bad. It is hot.
Yeah.
But listen, y'all, if you are a real Houstonian, are you really even that hot? Because somebody asked me yesterday when I was picking up my son from the daycare, mm-hmm. and they said, is this heat hot enough for you? I say, well, I mean.
Oh, I hate that question.
Mm. Yeah, I was like, I mean, girl, I mean, you ain't used to it by now. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of like when it's hot and it's humid. It's like Houston, Texas has different levels. Yesterday mm-hmm. was not that bad because we had a breeze. Mm-hmm. But there are some days where you are smothered by the heat and humidity.
Yes, yeah. The humidity. Ooh.
Okay, the thing that I can't get over is that we're getting a heat wave this early in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even officially summer mm-hmm. yet, and it's up there around 100 degrees. You know, the heat index is numbers like 106. You know.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. I don't like it.
Look, we got us a little bit more time. You know, listen, this is the beginning. We're at mid-June. We got a full July. Right. We got full August. Right. You know, listen, it's going to be about December 1st before we get over the heat, okay?
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine subscribing to your weather channel?
It's like we're not going to get there until about December 1st. And you know I'm not lying. Because sometimes it might come, the cool breeze comes on Christmas morning, you know?
September. I've got to make it till September. Antrichelle, I'm going to curl in a ball and cry if you keep on with this. All right. Antrichelle, what is your big news of the week?
Y'all, I don't know if y'all seen this, and maybe because I'm a young mother that this one really took to me. A family sues Houston Hospital for giving a 4-year-old an unintentional vasectomy.
Oh my God, I saw that. That was insane.
It's happened at Texas Children's Hospital, y'all, a 4-year-old. And the reason why this resonated with me is because my young son, Axum Nova, the greatest child of all time, he will be four this August, and my mouth dropped because I said, you've got to be kidding me. So this is what happened at Texas Children's Hospital.
One of the best in the nation.
The best in the nation. You understand? Mm-hmm. He was supposed to have a surgical procedure. Now, this came from Fox 11 in LA. Mm-hmm. Attorney Randy Searle says, representative family said the child was supposed to only have a surgery for a hernia in the groin. Yes, in the groin area, but was also also given a vasectomy. It wasn't that.
It was an accident, right? Like the surgeon's knife slipped. It was not supposed to be one of the side effects of the hernia surgery.
Okay, so look, I got to take a deep breath on this. First of all, you know, I'm just putting my son there, right? This is my only begotten son, right? This child will never have any children. And not only that.
Well, okay, it's a partial.
What?
Yeah, I was reading this one close, Andrew Shell.
But wait a minute. Even still, that lessens the chance.
No, I get it. It's bad. It is bad.
Come on. Mm. This is terrible. And how did you slip? What were you doing? What were you distracted?
Well, so
what was happening?
Like the thing that we don't know yet. I mean, lots of people sue, but was the surgeon doing something bad or wrong? Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I hate to say it. Surgeons make human error.
They do.
Like every other human being.
They do.
Were they doing everything possible to prevent it is the thing I want to hear. Mm. And we haven't heard that side of the story yet.
Yeah.
They said the surgeon, we think, cut accidentally the vas deferens, one of the tubes that carries reproductive semen in it. This baby not going to get to go ahead and ejaculate. What is this? It could affect this young man for the rest of his life. You think?
Yeah, I think it's going to affect him.
It is.
What we don't know yet is, you know, whether the hospital and surgeon are at fault. So
why wouldn't they be, Lisa? That's the thing.
Oh, Aunt Rochelle, surgery is full of complications. I mean, that's why before you get it, they sit you down and tell you, here is all the awful stuff that can happen.
And here's why I think the doctor will be at fault, because they said the doctor failed to accurately identify the anatomy that needed to be cut.
Yeah.
That's where we have the issue.
I mean, that's the allegation, but we don't know for sure that that's what happened.
I get Aunt Rochelle's frustration, like as a mother being so angry, I totally understand.
Right.
But like, I get also Lisa's perspective of like, the surgeon is human. We don't really know exactly what went down yet. We don't really know.
I mean,
the
may have been seriously at fault.
We just don't know. But I want to kind of wait and see and kind of hear exactly what happened.
Okay. Well, this story is still yet unfolding. Yeah. Like, we'll keep you updated on this. Right. This is a hot topic. All right.
Yeah. All right. So for me, the news that really struck me this week was, it was a poll, and I'm not normally riveted by polls, but this one by Quinnipiac University got into gun control. They were talking with Texas voters, and I was really floored by some of the stuff they found. After Uvalde, 93% of registered Texas voters want stricter background checks on gun buyers. And 73% want to raise the minimum age to buy a gun of any kind. And that just does not sound to me like the Texas I know.
Yeah. Have we not learned from Uvalde, ladies and gentlemen? Have we not learned?
Well, are we learning? Is this what we're learning? That you need some kind of restrictions? I mean, they're not saying we want to get rid of all guns. And they're not even saying we want to get rid of all the AKs. The thing that really strikes me is that Texans are like really coming out strongly for any kind of restrictions on guns.
I saw a TikTok where a young man in Scotland, he said in 1985, there was a mass shooting in a Scotland elementary school. That same year, Scotland band together, the powers that be, they changed the gun laws. It's 2022. How many mass shootings in the elementary school or any mass shootings, period, have we had in Scotland? Zero. You know why? Because they changed the restrictions. They changed the laws. Why can't we do that here in Texas? And I think it's like there are some parts of Texas that it's a rite of passage for a young man or a young woman to receive a gun at a certain age. Sometimes it's 16. Sometimes it's 15, right? Sometimes it's 8, because
you're talking about hunting, right?
And I'm talking
about hunting. Handgun. Okay.
Correct. I'm talking about hunting. But even still, is that thinking about the level of maturity that person, that child has, do you really think that this is a person who should be held a piece of machine that can that can change somebody's life, alter somebody's life? That's a lot of responsibility for a child. Why can't we change the gun laws, the gun rules, the restrictions, and everybody's just fighting for, let's just change the age, y'all? Come on.
Yeah, if you're not old enough to buy a beer, you shouldn't be able to buy an AK.
Agreed.
I don't even know if at 21 you even are like mature enough mentally to understand.
Agreed.
Like, what would you make the gun laws?
I would say like 30, to be honest. I think by 30, you would have gone through all the emotional craziness, all the like wildness of college. You would have calmed down. You would have been far more mentally stable and mentally at a place where you're like, oh, I know who I am as a person.
I agree. I even say 25, and that's pushing it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, out of college. Mm-hmm. That's around the out of college age to show, okay, a mature adult. Of course, we know at 25 you're really not that mature of adult.
Yeah, something
that I did at 25. Right. That amen. But right. Still, the fact that remains is like, y'all, we gotta get better at the rules that are in place.
Yeah, and Aunt Rochelle, like, you are not anti-gun overall, right? You own a gun.
You know, I feel like I need to protect my family at any by any means necessary. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's a lot of education that goes with that. There's a lot of maturity that goes along with that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of responsibility that takes place when you are talking about, you know, like I said, altering a person's life. Even when you are faced in the moment of danger, you still think about, I just want everybody to go home. I know I do.
Yeah.
And at that moment, it's like, if this person is hindering me from going home, what are we going to do?
Yeah. So like, your idea is basically you want guns to be in the hands of people who are responsible enough to handle them.
Absolutely. And I do feel like, you know, I don't feel like guns should be a sport.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like where we draw the line, because now the guns are a sport and it's like, oh, well.
How do you mean? Like, I'm not against hunting and fishing. I mean, hunting, well, I guess nobody's shooting fish, but.
Well, I'm against children hunting. You know what I mean? And I know it's a
like, if you're out in the woods with your dad, you know, I'm all right with that, because your dad's gonna take the gun. He's gonna teach you gun safety. Nope, you just think no.
I don't care. I think that should be something that they should do when my son can drink a beer with his daddy. You understand? Yeah, when he's older, when they can talk as men and hunt as men. But still, I do agree. I feel like we do need to protect ourselves. We need to protect our families, but it should not be for sport.
All right, let's move on. Dina, what story do you think should have gotten more attention this week?
You know, I'm gonna come back to this just because of the amount of people I know that are getting COVID. But it's the story that was actually posted on ABC talking about Texas is saying that we have low levels, that we're down the curve, we're doing so much better. But actually, we might not be reporting very accurately on our COVID numbers, because people who are getting COVID are just, you know, doing the at-home tests, and they're not really reporting whether they have COVID or not. So we don't have a true number of how COVID is doing.
Yeah.
I
mean, there's wastewater numbers are more reliable, right? Because everybody poops.
That's true.
You know, if you got COVID, you're not hiding it that way. And those numbers show it going up still, right?
Yeah, but I feel like they're not really painting it as like an issue. People are still kind of unmasked. Like, everything is like normal. It's kind of just buried. It's not really something where they're bringing it to the forefront and saying, hey, COVID's on the rise. Let's do something to fix it.
Yeah. We've entered this phase where a lot of people are vaccinated.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of moving into living with it the way that we live with the flu.
Mm-hmm. I think the scary part of COVID is over, because now we know. And I think that's just been the whole kit and caboodle.
I mean, the thing that worries me is we know the variants we have seen so far. And this thing is still evolving. So it looks like the variants that are spreading right now are no worse than Omicron. I mean, they may be more contagious, but they're not more deadly.
That doesn't
mean that the next one that comes down the pike won't be worse, won't be more dangerous. And if we're getting in the habit of ignoring it, we could be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. We really can. But you said the right thing. It's just people don't feel like they were like, oh, we don't oh, we're not dying from it anymore. Okay, then we are right. Right? Mm-hmm. When it's like, no, COVID is still real. We still got to fight it.
I feel like I'm most afraid of like that after effect, like the long-term effect that COVID has on us, because we don't have enough really to tell us about what it means to like have Omicron 2 years from now. What does it mean for you? You know, and then to continue to get sick. I feel like when I got Omicron, I got sick a lot more afterwards, and it would just be easier for me to get sick, and it would feel like it's COVID again. So I'm just curious, like, you know, kind of scares me that we don't really have that information. We're
still figuring out.
That's a good one.
Long COVID. All right. Well, that is scary. And Rochelle, what about you? What is the story that should have gotten more attention?
You know, I've said this from the beginning, because when we first broke this story, it was done on, I found it on the Shade Room, and it's the case of Felicia Johnson, if you remember, Dina, when I brought this up the last time. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. They actually found her killer. He dismembered her body, and he spread it out, and then they found out that he Googled ways to get away with her murder after she disappeared. It was just really sad.
Wow. Oh man! So this was the case where the woman had gone missing, and it was her dad who really was throwing a fit trying to get police just.
Absolutely. And this is very unfortunate, but social media is actually what brought this case to light. And the Shade Room reported this, and the Shade Room is still keeping up with this. And it's just so sad because they searched his home. They searched his phone, and he had three other dismembered bodies, female bodies, three different women.
Oh, man. And so, if the police had gotten on this faster. They would have caught him faster. But B, if the dad had not raised hell, he might still be out there.
Absolutely. I'm thankful that there are no other women, that are being targeted. But think about it. You know, these women, people love them, you know, and they feel like that these type of women are easier targets because of their profession, of the way they choose to live their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain things.
They are vulnerable.
They're very vulnerable.
Yeah. I think when I first heard about it, it was from social media. It was all over social media. I wasn't seeing it in mainstream outlets.
No.
It wasn't really covered.
Nope. Yeah. Nope, nope, nope.
All right. So the story that I think should have gotten more attention is what's going on with electric prices in Houston.
Yeah.
So if any of y'all have looked at like renewing your contract lately, the standard electric contract that most people get has almost doubled in price in the last 12 months. That is huge. I mean, that's partly because fuel prices, partly because of, you know, the like screw ups and price surges that happened during that winter freeze.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm going to tell y'all a little bit of my business. When I get that notification to renew, I ignore it because I just don't want to.
To think about it?
I just don't want to be depressed.
What happens? Do they just automatically stick you in whatever plan they want to?
I don't know. I'll report back and see, because I'm just not going to look at it.
No, and for sure, you better look, because if they stick you in whatever plan they want to, you might get a worse price.
Yeah. You think so? Well, my price is pretty good right now.
Well, but once that contract is up,
it's over.
They can do it. I don't know what the fine print on yours says, but it's over. Okay. You don't get to keep your price.
Fine. I'll be responsible.
Don't not think about it, because girl, that'll cost you a lot of money.
Okay, well, we don't need that, you know, because I'm already counting my little coins.
All right, I need some happiness. Dina, what in Houston is making you happy right now?
So it's the new grocery store that opened up in Second Ward called Little Red Box Grocery.
That
is so cool, because they're trying to offer, you know, fresh groceries and just things that you find in your pantry, but like a lot of organic, clean options to lower income families. And I feel like that's something that a lot of people don't think is important, but it is. And seeing this actually happen really in Second Ward is incredible. That it's not just like another Whole Foods, you know, moving in,
right,
which is not affordable for a lot of people.
Right. That's a sign that you're getting pushed out.
Exactly.
That is good. And Rochelle, what about you? What do you got?
Well, I'm excited about the Texas Lotto being at $6.2 million.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm excited about that. And not only that, did you know you can buy lottery tickets on your phone? I did not know.
That is not even something I would know. Yeah, for real.
You need to watch out. You need to pay that electric bill.
You see why I don't think about my electric bill? Because I think I got big money on my mind. You know, I got big money on my mind.
You don't care what the power bill is.
Exactly. When I win, baby, listen, I'm going to hire a house manager and they better pay these bills. I'm going to just make sure the money is there.
All right. I am not usually a sports person, but there was a sports story that just riveted even me this week. And that is what happened Wednesday at the Astros game against the Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they pitched this thing that's called an immaculate inning. Actually, they pitched two of them. An immaculate inning is when it's nothing but strikes. You know, three batters, three strikes each, nine pitches total, and it's done. It is perfect. It is as good as you get. And the odds of that happening are just crazy low. You know, it's like lightning strike territory. I think there have been 106 immaculate innings ever recorded in Major League Baseball. Never two on the same day. And so to have two in the same team is just amazing. It was two different pitchers. It was Luis Garcia and Phil Maton. And, you know, it just means that the Astros are on fire.
Go Stros.
And besides, all my math nerd friends are excited, so that's fun to watch. All right, y'all. This has been fun.
This was fun. It's always fun with you guys when we get to get together and have a time.
Right? It's always a pleasure.
That is it for CityCast Houston today. Our lead producer is Dina Kesba. Our producer is Farrell Gibbs, and we had help this week from roving producer Carleon Jones. Brooke Lewis co-writes the newsletter with me, Lisa Gray. Music is by Farrell Gibbs and his band All the Kimonos. If you enjoyed the show, please tell a friend. Tell four friends. We won't have a show Monday because we're off for Juneteenth, but we will talk with you Tuesday. See you then. We need to get some tea next time.
Clink our cups.
So people can hear our sugar cubes.
Clink, 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 clink. I agree.